Welcome to HCS Talks. I'm your host, Superintendent of Hampton City Schools, Raymond Haynes. This is our second season of HCS Talks, our Hampton City Schools podcast. Our goal is to educate, inform, and entertain not just our local community, but also listeners far and wide. In each episode, we dive into a variety of topics from education and student success to the hard work of our teachers, support staff, parents, and community partners. We also shine a spotlight on different community programs, initiatives, and more, offering valuable insights for everyone. To our loyal listeners, thank you for your continued support. And if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. We hope you will stick around and keep listening to HCS Talks. Today, I have the opportunity to sit down with Miss Loranda Jennifer, who I believe is in her second year at Mary T. Christian Elementary School, home of the champions, as an associate teacher. So welcome, Miss Jennifer. Thank you for joining us today on HCS Talks. Before we dive into our discussion, please introduce yourself to the listening audience.
My name is Loranda Jennifer, and yes, you are correct. This is my second year as an associate teacher at Mary T. Christian. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. So, what inspired you to pursue a career in education?
That's a very good question. What inspired me? A career in education actually chose me. I don't think that that was my trajectory. That wasn't on my mind. I feel like education is a calling. It's not necessarily something that you raise your hand and say, hey, pick me. You know, I feel like you have to have a heart for it. And so instead of saying why I chose it, I would say it chose me.
Wow.
So that's why I would say instead of me choosing it, it wasn't on my radar. I wasn't looking to be an educator.
Yes, ma'am. But I understand you're making a tremendously positive impact in the lives of young people and in this community as well. So let me back up a little bit, Ms. Jennifer.
Yes.
Are you from this area?
I am not.
So what brought you to Hampton Roads?
So I am a military brat.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So you came here from where?
The Lower South.
Lower South. How long have you been here in Hampton?
I have been here for about maybe close to 20 years.
20 years?
Yes.
So why did you choose to work in Hampton City Schools?
I think that question also goes along with the first question. I don't necessarily think that the question should be why I chose Hampton City Schools or why did I choose to work in Hampton City Schools. To me, the question is why not Hampton City Schools? Hampton City Schools is an awesome place to work. I have, along this journey, met some very dedicated, would be a very good word, and very vested people who care about the education that they pour into students. So I think that it was a natural choice. You know, once you're guided somewhere, I think it's relatively easy to know, you know, the people that you meet and you come in contact with, whether or not you should also, you know, put your lot there as well, based upon vision and goals and how they align.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And I believe you probably seamlessly fit right in.
Sure. I think I did. I think that just because I care about the kids and I care about the education, I think that it makes it easy to fit in when you have other people who have the same passion for education. I think it makes it relatively easy to do.
It seems like anything you put your mind to, you're going to have that passion and level of enthusiasm that comes with it. Which leads me to a question. You said this is your second year in Hampton as an associate teacher. What did you do before?
So it's not my second year in Hampton. I was in Hampton prior to.
Okay.
So I was an instructional assistant. And then I applied for the learning recovery facilitator position after COVID because of the deficit in the classroom due to COVID. And surprisingly enough, Mr. Blow was the person who interviewed me.
Wow.
And he definitely made me feel comfortable during the interview process.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody that I know of likes to interview. So it makes it relatively easy when you have somebody that can put you at ease when it's time to interview. And so the questions that he asked, the position itself was something that I wanted to do, because again, it was, I wasn't in front of the classroom. I was pushing into the classroom. So it made it relatively easy to apply for and to want to do.
So prior to the education profession, what mm-hmm. were your interests then?
So my interests then were more so business related. I am a Hampton University alumna, so it makes it relatively easy to, like I said, transition from, when you go to a place of greatness, it makes it easy to kind of transition into a place of greatness.
Yes, ma'am. So, yeah. The home by the sea. One Correct. Of our school board members will be happy to hear that plug you put in for Hampton University.
Correct.
So, Ms. Jennifer, what has your experience in the classroom been like so far?
It's been great. I haven't had anything that I would necessarily call bad. It's education. So one thing I like about education is that it gives you the ability to pivot. If something is not working in the first quarter, second quarter, what do we need to do differently? You know, what can we do differently? So it makes it relatively easy to be able to come in each day and start a new day afresh and anew, because yesterday may not have been the best. Maybe there was something that a student didn't get right. Maybe it was something that we need to work on. So the next day we come in, we can pivot. Okay, can we do a small group today? Can we do a one-on-one today? So it makes it easy to pivot.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the opportunity to see those obstacles as opportunities as well.
Correct. So, correct.
And then every day, like you said, it's a new day.
Correct.
Fresh start.
Correct.
What do you enjoy most about working with students?
Everything. Everything. You know, kids are kids. They're sponges. They soak up information. And the other thing that's interesting is when they get it, then we can move on.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We can always go back just to make sure, cover the rough edges.
Right.
But for the most part, once they get it, they get it. And then we can build upon what we got. You know, so, I mean, it's a great challenge.
Having that foundation verse means a
right.
lot. Yes.
Right.
And I forgot to ask you, I don't know if you said it already or not, my mind is drawing a blank. What grade are you teaching?
I am fifth grade.
Fifth grade.
Correct.
With the fifth graders.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes.
The big boys and girls.
Yes.
Getting
yes.
ready to transition to middle school.
Correct. Correct.
So how has the support from your school and colleagues helped you?
Oh, great. Great. Matter of fact, if I could go back to the first question that you asked me, what made me or inspired me to choose a career in education. The prior principal here, Ms. Nelms,
yes.
was the one who asked me, "Don't you want to teach?" And I said, "No." And then, of course, Mr. Blow, "Don't you want to teach?" "No." That was never a passion. That was never, I shouldn't say a passion. Education, be it in front of the classroom or either pulling out or pushing in, is still a part of education. So you still have an opportunity to engage kids. You still have an opportunity to shape their minds and their future, right? So you said, I'm teaching fifth grade. They're going to middle school. The gulf between fifth and sixth is that preparation time,
yes.
you know, getting them ready to be middle schoolers. And with all the initiatives that Hampton City Schools has in as it relates to getting kids college ready, fifth grade is a perfect place to start that, because we get a chance to have those conversations. What is it that you want to be when you grow up? What is it that you're thinking about?
Right.
You know, so a fifth grader can be just as prepared, right, to go to middle school and start thinking about college and to start thinking about what they want to do before they leave the fifth grade classroom. So it is that when you start talking about support, if there's a question, I can ask, you know, and nobody is like, "I'm not answering that. Go figure it out yourself." I've never gotten that since I've been in this building or with Hampton City Schools. Somebody is always willing to help.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is very pleasing to hear, Ms. Jennifer, because oftentimes when folks choose Hampton and choose to stay, or for some instances where they may leave and end up coming back, we ask them, "Okay, why'd you come back?" And they say, "I miss that sense of family connectedness and collegiality and camaraderie that the school division offers." So it's very nice to hear you say that as well, because it hopefully will help you choose to stay as well.
Why not? That's right.
So, and you mentioned Ms. Nelms and Mr. Blow.
Yes.
That old adage, oftentimes people see things in you may not necessarily see
True.
In yourself. And I think they both recognize a powerful educator when they see one, and the impact that you have made and will continue to make in the lives of our young people and in this community. So what professional development opportunities have been most beneficial to you?
All of them. Starting out as a person who does not have any experience in front of the classroom, I think the very beginning when I chose to say yes, from the new teacher orientation, the before the pre, right? That was very, it was very engaging because you got a chance to, number one, obviously hear the vision, because you always want to make sure that whatever your values and goals are aligned with, and your personal vision, right, aligns with where you choose to place yourself in terms of your career. So hearing the vision and then hearing what was expected and then hearing the type of support that the ID department would give with Dr. Kim and Miss Jerry Lynn, right?
Yes.
We're going to be given, along with the conventions, you can, again, ask questions. I'm a big question asker. So I always want to know beforehand what's expected, just so I can say yay or nay. Can I do this? Can I not do this? So definitely anything dealing with professional development is always helpful, always.
Again, that is something that we continue to market and highlight about what's good and great with Hampton City Schools. When we look at the teacher induction program with Dr. Kim, and you mentioned Ms. Workman, and Ms. Peterson does a lot of work around that as well. So
yes.
We look at that 5-year teacher induction program. It helps aspiring or novice educators feel supported and give them a sense of confidence and hopefully the will to continue to do great things as well.
Right.
So how do you build relationships with students and create a positive classroom environment? I imagine that comes naturally for you.
I think that it does just because, again, kids are kids, right? So parents send us their absolute best, right? And it may not necessarily be what we deem to be, in quotes, right, the best, right? But at the same time, they're kids,
right?
So first thing in the morning when they come, I greet them at the door. I want to look in their eyes. I want to see their face. I want to know, you know, anything changed without you telling me anything changed. Because I know kids don't really say, right? If I'm not used to speaking and saying how I feel, they're not going to tell you whether or not their night was bad or their day was good or their night was good. So we have a mini conversation. What did you do last night? Some of them will say nothing. Some of them will say play with the dog or play video games. And then the next question, of course, is did you do your homework? Right? Sometimes I'll get a yes. Oftentimes I'll get a no. But we have a way to fix that during the day. But building relationships with them is all about being honest with them, right? Because they know when you're not being honest, right? So I try to make sure that I am transparent with them as far as the expectation. That's the big thing. The standard is the standard. The standard is I expect for you to operate in excellence, period. No matter if you had a bad day, we'll do like a couple of woo-woos, little 5 minutes, get it together, how are you? And then we are moving on because we can't stay there. So the standard is always you are expected to operate in excellence because I'm expected to give you excellence. So if I'm giving it, then you got to give it back to me. And so that is how I build relationships with them. We are not a classroom that strives to be 75% or, you know, the goal is 90 or above.
Right.
That's the goal. That's the standard because that's excellence, right? Now, will everybody give me a 90%? No, but you can give me growth.
Right.
And you can give me, if your growth is your excellence, then that's your excellence. And we are going to keep on pushing until we get there.
The standard is the standard.
And it does not change because you have a bad day. It does not change because you don't feel like it or you're sleepy or you're tired. It doesn't change.
And that's part of having those high expectations. I think, you know, one of the worst things you can do to a person in general, because they're having a bad day or they have some circumstances that are not the best, is to put them in the corner and say, I feel sorry for you, and we're just going to let you just get by.
Right.
That's not how life is.
It is not.
Understand where you're coming from and what you're grappling with. I'm going to provide some support and structures around you. But the expectation is still excellence.
Correct.
And we're going to make certain that you get there.
Correct.
We're going to help you to do so. That's pretty impactful. So what strategies have you found effective in supporting classroom instruction?
Classroom management.
That's first and foremost.
First and
safe
foremost.
Safe and nurturing environment.
Oh, yes. Safe and nurturing, but still we got work to do.
Yes.
Right? So classroom management is the, and I remember, it's funny because I remember taking the walks with Jerry Lynn over the summer before the first year. And called Summer Walks, which I think is a beautiful idea for anybody who is considering being a classroom teacher, just because it gives you the opportunity to see what other teachers in Hampton City Schools are doing, right? Because it's a whole bunch of rock stars,
yes.
Right? So you want to see, well, what are they doing? Now, granted, you won't get the opportunity to put any of that into practice immediately, but you can take notes, you can ask questions, right? And you can get a chance to see what a classroom environment looks like that is productive and that is operating with a standard. And you can pick and choose like a fish. You can pick and choose, right, what bones you want to take and which ones you want to discard, because not everything is going to work for everybody, right?
And you have to have your own style.
Correct. Yes. Correct. So my style may not be what a third grade teacher down my hall may do. She may say, oh, that's too much. But you're third grade, I'm fifth grade, right? So it's a whole bunch more at stake when I think about fifth grade. You're going to middle school, and my name is attached to where you're going, because they're going to ask you, well, who was your fifth grade teacher, right? And when they hear my name, I want them to say, oh, my gosh, yes, you're going to do great things. That's what I want them to know, right? So,
and that does happen. Having been an elementary and middle school principal, once I got to middle school, they would often ask, who was your fifth grade teacher?
Right.
And they had a, you know, there was a reputation around that.
Right.
They would say just what you said. Well, right. I know you've learned this.
Correct.
And I know the expectation is excellent.
Correct.
And greatness. In
correct.
You, or for you.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
So, summer walks, you mentioned that.
Yes.
Hadn't heard that before, but I believe it's literally what you said.
So it is exactly that.
Observing classrooms.
Right.
That teachers are having during the summer. Right,
right. Summer school, yes. Right. When they have summer school, Jerry Lynn had reached out and said, you know, we're having summer walks. Fill out the Google form if you're interested, what days and times you're interested. And so I did just that. And I think it was me and one other person.
And this was on your own
time. Absolutely. Right, right. Absolutely. Because if this is what I say I want to do, you talk about old adages, there's an old adage, you have to have some skin in the game.
Right.
So my skin in the game is, I know I'm not getting paid for this, but does that matter right now? Is it going to pay off down the line? And I can say with assurance, it's paid off down the line. I feel like had I not done the summer walks, I would be walking blindly into a classroom, not knowing what systems and strategies I needed to put in place so that I could have a successful first year. So having those summer walks gave me the opportunity to take notes. Think about during the summer, like you said, on my time, what do I want my classroom to look like when I walk in? What do I want my students to feel when they walk in? And one of the things is I want you to know it's orderly, right? Because I don't want you to go home and tell your parents, Mommy, that is stuff all over. No, it's not. Not on my watch. So I want them to be able to say, and according to Hampton School's students and rights and responsibilities, every kid, right, has the right to a safe, orderly, productive environment. So therefore, if that's what it says, then that is what I should provide. So having a summer walk over the summer on my time afforded me the opportunity and the time to be able to think about what I wanted that to look like and then to prepare it and to create it so that on the first day when they came, I'm standing at the door, they're walking down the hall, they have to stop before they come into the classroom. There's a piece of tape. If you go by my door, that's neon green. This is where you stop so Mrs. Jennifer and I can have a conversation, be it brief, right, or maybe you need a little time, right? So those types of things, working with IND, right, and having conversations and summer walks afforded me the time and the opportunity to be able to do that.
Gets the day started off right.
Correct.
Well. You start that just a brief morning talk.
That's right.
And making certain the young ladies and young men are where they need to be.
Right.
Socially and emotionally. And,
correct.
And prepared for the instructional day.
Correct.
So what advice, Ms. Jennifer, would you give to someone considering becoming an associate teacher?
I would say ask as many questions as you can. But you have to ask of the right people. Mm-hmm. You can't just ask anybody, right? And if I'm not a teacher in Hampton City Schools, I wouldn't talk to a teacher in Newport News.
Right.
Because everybody's structure and everybody's vision is not the same. So you have to choose and pick. First of all, you have to know your vision, right? What do you want to do? And if this aligns with what you want to do, then make some impactful connections, right? We always talk about networking, but I don't think anybody thinks of networking when you start talking about being an educator.
Right.
But networking,
but they should.
They should, because as an educator, and I don't say teacher, not on purpose, but on purpose, because as a teacher, you can provide information, but as an educator, you are doing more than providing instruction, right? You're talking about character development. You know, in Hampton City Schools, we talk about social, emotional wellness. We talk about making sure that students are able to come to school and focus on what they're required to do.
Right.
You can't do that without character building. You can't do that without a foundation for social, emotional wellness. So
helping them to have a positive sense of self.
Correct. And they're kids. Mm-hmm. Again, we keep going back to that. They're kids. They're not adults. Right. So having those mechanisms to help them self-regulate, to be able to complete their day successfully, that's important. So you want to have a conversation with people who align with your vision. That would be the first thing. And if you know that it doesn't align, then you got to find what does.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I like, you know, it is evident you did a lot of homework and research and ask a lot of questions to the right people, because some of what you said in the beginning, it speaks to what we talk about when we say the portrait of a Hampton graduate and having young people college, career, and life ready. You understand the importance of the foundation being laid at the elementary level. So when you talk about college, career, and life ready and the portrait of a Hampton graduate, it's not a high school thing. It's a K-12 thing. And when young people enter as early as preschool, we're preparing them for those life skills to get them prepared.
Correct.
For life beyond high school, whether it's Bethel, Hampton, Kickatan, or Phoebus.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. So how can school leadership and the division continue to support teachers like yourself?
I would say show up and ask us questions, right? What are we doing in the classroom? What's working? What's not working? And I do know that because we are a school and because we are a school division or a school, what term do you use instead of division? It's a school, what is it called? One community,
one
right?
Community.
We are one community. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. One community.
Okay, because I was going to say we often say we are a school division and not a division of schools.
That part.
That one community, one transformation mantra.
That part. That part. So we are, right, a division of schools. So so I know that oftentimes, obviously, the vision requires for certain things to be in place.
Right.
But having that conversation, right, and finding out, what do teachers need? What supports do they need? How can we help make it, I'm not going to say easier, right? Because not everything that you do is going to be easy that's worth it, right? So just making sure that what we're doing in the classroom, right, is being effective. But at the same time, just asking questions. What is it that you need? What would you like to see moving forward? And I think that Hampton City Schools does that, but maybe, I don't know, on a different level. I'm not sure.
Even if we had it sort of, I guess, set out where we just talked to a group of fifth grade teachers, because
right. The
needs and concerns may be vastly different
right. From
maybe a first grade teacher.
Right.
And having those sort of cohort groups get
right. Some
insight on and feedback on practices and procedures.
Right.
It helps to continue to build the system and structures that
right. We
have in place as well. And
right. I
think folks would have a general appreciation of being heard. And
absolutely.
Absolutely. Having folks take time out to get some insight from them as well.
Absolutely. I do feel that people are not always necessarily wanting things to change. A lot of times they just want to be heard.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Great
Absolutely.
Point. Great point. So, Ms. Jennifer, as we wrap up, is there anything else you would like to share with the listening audience?
I I would say if I had to share anything is to look forward to the pivot. Look forward to the pivot. It's nothing wrong with if you got it wrong yesterday or if little Johnny didn't sit down and he got on your nerves, you know. So just look forward to the pivot. It's a new day. Pivot. Try something different.
Wow.
Try something different. You never know what you're going to get.
You are truly a natural, and I can see why folks wanted us to sit down and have this podcast with you and why Mr. Blow speaks so highly of you. It's oftentimes when you hear folks say things, it's better to see it for yourself. And I thank you for choosing Hampton City Schools, and hopefully you will choose to stay for many years to come. I thank you for the impact you're making in the lives of young people here at Mary T. Christian, home of the champions. It's a great name and a great school to have
yes,
connected to that.
Yes,
I have certainly enjoyed our time together today.
Thank you, Mr. Superintendent. I appreciate it.
Much.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. And to our listeners, remember, education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world. As one community, one transformation, we will ensure academic excellence for every child, every day, whatever it takes. We will catch you next week.
Listen to learn more about Hampton City Schools. New episodes of HCS Talks drop on Thursdays. Subscribe and listen to HCS Talks. HCS Talks is a Hampton City Schools production.